You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm going to say Titans money line tonight because I don't want...
Whoa!
I don't want to be... I don't want to be a bad fan on this podcast, but I will say that I'm not betting it. I don't usually bet on the Titans or the Wolverines because I really am like excited about the game tonight, and I don't want my fandom to be tainted by the bet.
On black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
Cup C to the G, West Coast gang. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookson, quite the sourpuss today, and of course, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio.
I feel
we
good.
Are the West Coast Gamblers, the only gambling show that makes you money, proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and today it's all about the recap of what just was in week 6. We have a special guest coming on the show, Mr. Ryan Hurd. He is a country music star, and his debut album, Pelago, just came out. We break it down with him, make fun of him quite a bit, and talk to him about his Tennessee Titans. Yes, his Tennessee Titans. Can't wait to get to that interview. We will have Gravestones today, where each of these hosts here tells you that his team will not make the playoffs this calendar year, and of course Dr. Dangles, where Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, steps in and helps salve the wounds that Tony Squares and Schaefer the Sharp get throughout the week 6 slate. And boy, there were some wounds this week. Schaefer the Sharp,
I'll
let me go
best.
To you first. How you feeling, my man?
Frustrated, tired, angry, confused, pissed, emotionally unavailable, vulnerable, temperamental. That's kind of how I feel.
That's a lot. There's a lot going around in there. And hey, we're here for you, man. If you know, this is what we can be.
This is our football safe space, of course. And yeah, I mean,
I say one thing?
I feel like this week, and based on our text thread leading up to this show, I'm going to win the Human Meat Shield Award this week and take it away from Davis Mills.
You got it, Dangles. But I just want to say one thing very quickly. You know, we'll get to this in Dr. Dagnall's, but obviously the Patriots did not cover 3.5.
No.
So I was thinking this
How
Bills game.
How mad were you when he punted
no.
on 4th and short?
No.
On the,
I'm not here to talk about that
so
right now, Dangles. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about what we just saw in the Monday night game. And I was like, wow, I got a good number at the Bills at -5.5. You know what could happen here when they're down 3 and under a minute left? You know, it'd be poetic justice if maybe the game went into overtime and the Bills had a walk-off TD. And maybe that would get some of my Patriots luster back. And not only did that happen, all my Bills teasers and money lines and one double pick survivor, just, you know, again, as our friend TJ Wortham, light that ticket on fire and watch it swirl down the potty because it's long gone. And now I'm my time zone, my pumpkins, my ball's about to turn to a pumpkin, and you know, it's fine though. We're having fun.
Yep.
Sounds like it.
Betting is fun.
I can tell you're having a blast.
Betting is fun.
I can tell you're having a blast. I can tell you're getting a full night's sleep tonight. Everything's going to be well rested. Well, you know, everything's feeling good in the Schaefer household. Dangles, though, we do want to talk about your Patriots again. We're not going to go long on your Patriots because you always seem to wax poetically on your 2-4 franchise. But Dak Prescott threw for the most yards in the history of Bill Belichick against Bill Belichick on Sunday. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, well, and they're 0-4 for the first time in history of Bill Belichick's coaching career in New England. I mean, what else do you say? It was a wild end to the game. I'm
Crazy
frustrated
game.
They didn't go for it there against a team like the Cowboys. I feel like, you know, Dak picked him apart all game, and it's like, you know, they're going to come with the fire if you give them the ball back. They moved the ball downfield on the Patriots on us at will. So, you know, it was a frustrating end of the game for me. And you know, what do you say? This team is not very good this year. That's just the way that it is right now, unfortunately. Like, you know, I'm more often an apologist than not, but you know, I think
Dallas is the class of the NFL. I think Tampa Bay is the class of the NFL, and they were in field goal games against them.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for that. I think that we have shown that we can go toe to toe with some of the best in the league. But then you got the games like against the Texans, where you got a team that's not even gonna, you know, that's gonna be vying for the first pick overall, and they nearly win the game. So it's a week to week league, and this is very clearly a week to week team. The defense, you know, just got shredded by an all time performance, you know, by Dak Prescott. And speaking of all time performances, I don't know, I was just thinking this as I was watching the Bills Titans game. We're witnessing something incredible here with Derrick Henry. Like, and it's just beyond the numbers. You know what I mean? Like, what he's doing in the NFL, his unstoppability, it's unlike anything I've seen in a really, really long time. Like, we're witnessing running back history here, I think, fellas. He's on another planet.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. You know what else is pretty good? Listen, I've been watching a lot of football the past few days, watching even more over the past month. And it's just a constant barrage of NFL quarterbacks in commercials. Like, nonstop, you get State Farm, you get Progressive, you get Chunky, you get just Subway. There are just quarterbacks everywhere. And I think it's more than ever before. So very quickly, before we move on to this Ryan Hurd interview, before we move on to Dr. Dangles, I just want to throw out there, Drew proposed doing a Rotten Tomatoes scale on the acting ability on some of these quarterbacks. Okay, so I want to bandy around. I want to try to put our brains together and figure out. Drew and I used to be actors out in Los Angeles. Dangles, of course, loves watching movies with the subtitles on, so we know our stuff. The first one I want to bring up, sometimes I make myself laugh. The first one I want to bring up is Pat Mahomes. Because if you've seen the Jake from State Farm with Pat Mahomes commercials, there's a lot left on the table, so to speak. And I just want to say that to me, Pat Mahomes, and I don't know where you guys land on this, but to me, Pat Mahomes, you ever see the movie Jack and Jill with Adam Sandler, where Adam Sandler plays both Jack and the twin Jill?
I think that had like a minus rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
That is a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's pretty much where I want to put Pat Mahomes' acting ability. And you can kind of tell it moves its way to the football field with the way he played the first half against the Washington football team. Drew was texting us saying that there's a problem in that Chiefs team and a problem in that Chiefs locker room with Pat playing the way he was. They did come back and end up covering against that Washington football team, but it was hairy in the beginning. Drew, where do you feel about this Pat Mahomes acting ability Rotten Tomatoes score?
I actually just looked up the Rotten Tomatoes score in my hit movie, a 2016 spring break classic, Highway to Havasu.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely wasn't like Good Will Hunting or anything, and it came in at 45% in Rotten Tomatoes, which is, to be honest with you, about 10 points higher than I thought it would come in at. So, I'm gonna put Pat Mahomes at kind of what I thought Havasu was gonna be. I'm gonna put him right at 35%. Pretty poor. Definitely trying real hard. I don't think that much ability. I think the skill set might be there, but clearly the training's not. He hasn't put in the time. So I'm gonna give him 35%.
Doesn't seem natural. Dangles?
I mean, look, when you're gonna do these insurance commercials, right? Especially the car insurance, because these are like the cream of the crop when you're talking about some of the ad ideas. You think of Geico, you think of Progressive. Yeah. They have these long-standing campaigns. You got to be good, and I agree with you both. Patrick Mahomes just seems like he phones it in. He's kind of a shell of a person. You got to really lean into it and just be more than like, hi, I'm Patrick Mahomes, pouring a ton of, you know, ketchup on a steak. Like I want to see. I want more.
Dangles, I couldn't disagree more. I think it's the opposite. I think he tries too hard.
I think he
brings too much to the table. I think he's like that shoe salesman, like, oh, well, I guess you don't get the actual discount, sir. Like, I feel like he's just, he's that bad guy in the improv team that you're like, all right, buddy, just take a chill pill and let it come out naturally. But maybe that's just me. I want to move on, though.
I agree with you, Tony.
This guy is in more commercials than deserve it. Like, he just is all over the TV, even though he's not one of the top 5, top 10, maybe even top 15 quarterbacks in the league. Drew, I'm going to you first because I know he cost us some money this weekend. Baker Mayfield, yeah. acting ability. Where's your score?
So as a quarterback, I think he's below 60% right now in my Rotten Tomatoes grade. But as an actor, I got to get this guy. I hate to say it, guys. I think he's like an 85. I really, really enjoy him. I really enjoy him. I like the Heisman. I like the Heisman commercials. He had my dad gut laughing on the couch tonight watching Monday Night Football, the trick or treat with the nacho cheese and the thing in the bucket. I think he's really good, guys. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good. I'm gonna give him an 85% tomato meter.
85, Dagles, you're right there with him.
I don't know. I mean, I might go like an even 80, but I love Baker. The progressive at home with Baker ads are very funny. Really wow. well done. Him live and they got his wife to do it with him is great. They've got a bunch of different good ads with that. And I agree. I like the Nissan, the Heisman House, which Kyler Murray is also in. A shout out to Kyler Murray because he's actually not a bad actor either. But I love Baker. Oh. I'll give him a solid 80. He does the Hulu ads too. He is all over the place and he's a marketable face. He's a marketable guy and he leans into it. Speaking of guys that lean into it, yeah. especially in those progressive ads, he really runs with it and plays the neighbor.
That book club commercial when they're all sitting in the stadium. Very good. Very good. There's I actually the, felt some emotion there.
The one where he has good to go in pauses. And out of the stadium and get good wanded every time is hilarious. Yeah. Back in and out. The security guard calls him Parker. It's hysterical, and it's really good.
You guys need to define your term of hysterical and hilarious. I mean, yeah, it's funny. It's good stuff, but I mean, this is...
Dude, temper your expectations. We're talking about NFL quarterbacks here.
Yeah,
we're
not, Baker we're not trying ain't to, no flow, okay? You also said something just dastardly in that Kyler is a pretty good actor in his own right. Kyler is more wooden than a board itself.
You don't like Kyler?
But I want to move on to Thomas Edward Patrick Brady because this man has been everywhere. He even fooled some people in the NFL media this week with Giselle tweeting out, like, is it time for a trade? Because Tom Brady said he misses fall. And really, it was just a promo for a commercial that premiered this Sunday about his new cryptocurrency app that he's promoting. Brady's everywhere. Dangles, I'm going to go to you first. He is your king. He is your ruler. Where do you see Brady in the acting scale?
I got to give Tom Brady, I think I'll give him around a 75, I think, on the tomato meter score. He leans into it. I like the perfume style Subway bread commercial that he's doing.
That's
definitely up there. The T-Mobile one he does with Gronk is pretty funny as well.
It really isn't.
You don't like that one? Okay. Well, I mean, look, it's whatever. You just hate Gronk. You just don't think Gronk is funny or enjoyable at all, and that's fine.
No, he's like an adult with head trauma.
But he's a football player, so he kind of is an adult with head trauma.
Accurate.
He's gotten a lot of concussions in his career. I give him a solid 75. I like Brady. I think Baker's a little better on the screen, but yeah, Brady's very solid.
I go Brady. I go Baker over Brady for sure. Drew, where you got? You 75 for Brady? Is that too high?
No, Brady's too good at football to be that good of an actor. You know what I'm saying? He's like,
you only get the one like, thing, kinda, right?
it's kind of like the Michael Jordan. Like, you want to be like my commercials. Like, those are great. So here's where I'm going to put. Tom Brady is certifiable fresh, no doubt.
Yes.
But I don't think he's – I just think he's just above that threshold because he's the GOAT. I'm going to go a nice, easy – I'm going to go like 64 and a half – 65. We'll round up 65%.
They don't do
I'm
decimals
right there with
on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm right there with you with a 64 or 65. I think that's right there. 64. Certified fresh. Tom Brady, just a little flat, just a tiny little bit flat.
Yeah, I agree.
Last one we're going to do today, unless you guys have any short but sweet ones. But listen, I might be biased.
He's not good. I'm sorry.
But there's a Daniel Day-Lewis when it comes to quarterback actors out there.
Oh, my God.
And it's Mr. Aaron Rodgers. My friends, have you seen the commercial where he plays the Jeopardy host and they keep on getting it right and he expects them to be wrong? That's some of the best quarterback acting I've ever seen since Peyton Manning was throwing balls at children on Saturday Night Live. Aaron Rodgers is 100% Rotten Tomatoes rating in the quarterback acting school. 100%. And talk about playing to himself. He plays to himself. When he has that knit cap and he's playing guitar with the shades under the lights, he knows he's an asshole and he's playing into that persona. I think he's perfect. What do you guys have to say about Rodgers?
Well, Dangles, I'll let you go first because I have something to say about this at the end.
I,
it sounds like you're going the other way here.
I don't think he's that Great. I think he's as flat, if not flatter, than Brady. He seems like he's just too cool to be doing it. He's like, yeah, this is a paycheck, whatever. Even that very commercial you referenced, the one where he's the folk singer or whatever. He's just like, I know he's trying to play sort of a folk, but that's how he sounds in every commercial. Like he's just bored to be there. I don't know. He doesn't sell me the product. I don't know that I buy the product just because it's Aaron Rodgers.
Daniel Day Lewis. Drew.
I think the only difference between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, actor versus quarterback, is Aaron Rodgers actually might be a better actor than he is quarterback. I think Daniel Day Lewis might be just. I don't think he's quite as method as DD, but I'm gonna give him kind of like more like a interchangeable, ambiguous, like a Joaquin Phoenix type actor.
I'll take it.
I don't give anyone 100%, but I'll give Aaron Rodgers a very clear 98% fresh on the commercials. And I don't like him. Wow. I don't like the man dangles. I don't like him. But again, Tony referenced the Jeopardy commercial. No, Tony referenced the Jeopardy commercial. I couldn't agree more. This guy's got some chops.
Okay.
And he generally, I enjoy watching his commercials. I will admit it. I'm an Aaron Rodgers super acting fan, 98% from Schaefer the Sharp.
Well, Schaefer, he owns you. He always fucking owns you. He owns you for
Bears
his
fan.
Entire life. No, but I mean, the Lions.
He just needed an excuse to say
the Lions are sort of in the sidecar when it comes to the NFC North. You just go around wherever Rodgers goes. But that is it for the recap section. That is it for the Week 6 roundup. We have a big show today, mostly the Ryan Hurd interview, which is coming up, and I can't wait to talk to him again. A fortune teller that man is, and you'll see why in just a few moments. But first, Dangles, me and Drew, we're about to jump out of our seats. We've had some problems. It's time to go to Dr. Dangles.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Wow, what a week 6 of NFL football. Some really high highs, you know, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, some really low lows if you're maybe the Los Angeles Chargers. That game really was awful. I need to go to a therapist for that. But that's not why we're here today. We are here because Tony Squares, Schaefer the Sharp, you know, we do this every week. It's time for us to kind of help you guys try and figure a way out of some of your less healthy betting habits. And get to the core of the reasons why maybe we make the bets that we shouldn't be making, even in our heart of, though we know in our heart of hearts that they are wrong. So it's time to get real. It's time to get raw. It's time to feel our feelings. It's time for Dr. Dangles. Oh, gentlemen. So lovely of you to come back for another session. Sometimes I wonder from week to week if the rage and the doubt and the all-encompassing, you know, just despair that can be sports betting sometimes is going to rock you so deeply to your core that you might not return. But I'm glad to see you both here again, Tony Squares, Schaefer the Sharp. Who'd like to go first today? Who's got something they want to, you know, chat about?
Drew.
Huh. Funny you would reference me, Squares, Mr. Tony Squares, because Dr. Dangles, I'm having some problems with my partner over there in a domestic relationship that we're in.
Yeah.
And it just comes down to being sharp versus square. And the last couple weeks, I feel it's kind of a reoccurring problem. And he's been on the right side of some gambles, yes. 2 weeks ago, Austin Eckler got picked up into the red zone as he used to try to, you know, pick up his damsels at Hollywood and Vine late night after hours. And I just, that obviously was lucky. But this week really took the cake because I had the Patriots plus 3.5. He was on, of course, the other side, the Cowboys. And so, you know, he's kind of like needling at me a little bit, but it looks okay. The game's in overtime, and then of course, you know, Dak rolls out, throws it to CeeDee Lamb, and the Cowboys win by 6, which obviously That's more than 3.5 needed. Spread, and so certainly. He kind of tweeted, good teams win, great teams cover. And, man, it made me very angry. And I feel like he's just kind of – he might be taking some pleasure out of my pain. We both work hard. We both have different kind of means to getting to our final destination. I'm not trying to discredit what he does or his process, but boy, oh boy, doctor, was I mad. And I'm still mad. And I'm very frustrated. And I want to just, you know, we both have kind of large noses, but specifically, I just want to kind of like grab his nose and rip it off his face and then put it in my butt.
Before you say anything, doctor, I just want to add that, yes, I've been on the winning side of a couple of lucky breaks over the past few weeks, and yes, those lucky breaks have come at the expense of my partner here, Schaefer the Sharp, but I will say that when it comes to the egging of the on, I have to say the first few shots were very much fired by the Sharp himself. For instance, when Dak Prescott at the end of the first half here dives in the end zone on third down, and I say, no, that is a touchdown, Drew texts back, learn the rules. And, you know, there's just some things that get my ire, my dander up, so to speak. And when that happens, I just think there's a lot of, backhanded compliments and backhanded stuff going back and forth. But I'm happy it's being opened up in this great safe space.
Yeah, well, I'm very glad that you did, you know, brought it to my attention. It sounds to me like you both maybe did something that I don't know that I would say that you regret, because I know you too well and too well to think that either of you regret doing it. But for the sake of your betting partnership, you know, call it even. I mean,
I think Drew needs to admit when he was wrong, and you know, not throw it against when it was just luck and Austin Eckler gets picked up and put in the end zone. Yeah, but Dallas was the better team.
What are you willing to do if he's willing to admit that he's wrong, Tony Squares? If he even feels
nothing.
That way,
I regret nothing. I carried myself the same way I'll carry myself today, tomorrow, and the next day. I feel like I've done nothing wrong here. I'm just saying, I just think Schaefer the Sharp, when he's wrong, needs to man up and admit that he was wrong, and Tony was the better bettor that day.
I was not wrong taking the Browns +2. I was certainly not wrong taking the Patriots +3.5. I think in these gambles, there are coin flips, there are some lucky breaks, so I just like Tony Squares to acknowledge that maybe he got kind of lucky and say, hey, Schaefer the Sharp, great pick, better luck next week, instead of saying great teams win.
Well,
or
I think
good teams win, great teams cover.
I think I have a solution here. I think that will benefit Please. All three of us, and I'm very excited to share this with you. You're grown-ass men, grow the fuck up, and work it out. That is all the time that I have for you two idiots today to beef your petty bullshit on our podcast. Let's move on to, what are we doing next? Gravestones. It's Ryan. We're just going to Ryan next. It's Ryan. We're going to Ryan Hurd next to save this goddamn podcast.
West Coast Gamblers.
Ladies and gentlemen, returning to the show today is a fan favorite. He has written chart-topping singles with the likes of Luke Bryan, Blake Shelton, and of course, his lovely wife, Maren Morris. But today he is on the show because his debut album, Pelago, has arrived. You can find it on Spotify, you can find it on Apple Music, wherever you find your country crooner needs, that man is there with Pelago. He is on the show today as a fan of the Michigan Wolverines, as a fan of the Tennessee Titans, and of course, as a fan of Mama Crookston herself. Please welcome. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Ryan Hurd. Welcome back, my man.
Not sure you could have any shade going at Mrs. C, but yeah, thanks for having me back.
Well, and congrats on the album release, man. It's a huge deal. This is your first solo album, right?
It's the first one. It was very cool. I'm exhausted, but it was a lot of fun this week to talk about it. And yeah, now we go sell some tickets this week for tour next year. I hope everybody
I know.
Can go find something near a in a city near them. And yeah, it's going to be a fun 2022.
Yeah, I saw the tour dates. There's a bunch of them out there. In fact, you're heading to Boston, my hometown. I might see you there. Very excited about that. But I want to talk about the debut album for a second. We have a couple of ideas for that album. But first, I just want to, I have a two-part question for you. And I'm sure you've heard this before when you were doing all the press. But first part of the question, what does Pelago mean?
So Pelago is Italian or Latin for open sea. So there's a lot of water songs on this record. And it's also, I think in Latin, it means overwhelming passion. And it was just kind of a cool umbrella for all these songs to live under.
I love that. I love that. And the second part of the question, the great answer to the first part leads me to the second part. Outside of this debut album, how many times have you used the word Pelago in a sentence before?
I was writing it, and that's it.
It conveniently, he told me it conveniently rhymes with Chicago, too.
Exactly.
Easy.
Yeah, great.
Put that in the book.
That's how it all went. I started, and I thought it was a made-up word, and turns out it was a real word, just not in our language.
Well, hey, Ryan, our history is a well-documented childhood buddy since sixth grade. You know, you spent a lot of time in each other's basements, or our moms did our laundry. I couldn't help but look at some of these song titles on this album, and one did convict me. The title, I Never Said I'm Sorry. I think I might have told the story before on one of your appearances, but our senior year of high school, you know, Ryan always, he loved baseball. It was always a passion of his, and he played soccer for fun, and basketball was something that he was so good at, but I kind of made him do, right? And he was very good at it. And so his senior year, he told me, hey, man, I don't think I'm going to play basketball because I'm going to focus on this music thing. And I said, are you an idiot? Are you crazy? You're playing basketball, dude, or I will whip your ass. I will physically beat you up. I don't care if you're my best friend. I will beat you up. I will take your long, gangly ass down. I will hammer you. Where is this music thing going to go, bro? It's not going anywhere. You need to be on this team. We will go 11-9, and we will lose in pre-districts by 30 against Martin, but you'll never forget that for the rest of your life. And, well, turns out the music thing did go somewhere for him. And so I'd like to publicly say, Ryan, I never said I'm sorry for that. So sorry.
I like that you used it in the proper use, like the way I used it in the song, because I think people would look at that and say, I never said I'm sorry as a defiant thing, but it is a true apology. So it's makes, you know, I appreciate it. You're the bigger man here. And dude, I hated it. I did not like basketball, and it wasn't because I didn't like basketball, but basketball practice sucks. Like it's running.
It's cardio. Yeah.
It makes no sense. Like it, like all you do all practice, and in Michigan, probably the same, like way up in the Northeast, the gym is always freezing. And so you'd go there and you'd like sweat cold for 2 hours.
Yep.
Get yelled at. And then you'd like go home and wake up like so tired. I've also broken my nose 3 times.
Yes, I was going to say.
So like,
he's a nose breaker.
Is a terrible idea for me. Like, I'm scared of elbows. I'm scared of, like, the ball. I'm just in no way interested. And at this point, too, like, if you blow out an ACL as an adult, you are toast. Like,
it's over.
Oh, yeah.
It's over. It's like, hey, man, here's your 40 pounds and some uncomfortable rehab for you to get back to just being able to function.
Yeah.
There's no, you can't play golf.
That's why, I mean, we as a show, Drew's all about the golf. I myself have upgraded to tennis life. Tennis life is where it's at when it gets to, you know, mid-30s, exercise, having fun, competitive spirit. Basketball is too much. I highly advise tennis life. Just got to say.
It's not any easier on the knees, though.
It's not.
It's a joint sport.
But I'm not going to land on anybody's foot and turn my ankle.
You'll have to play in the ACL league if you bust up. I'm sure there's like a tennis league for people with bad knees. But anyway, noses and knees means no basketball for me.
Well, Drew, it's a good thing for us that you're better at handicapping football games than you are at handicapping your friends' eventual careers.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't like you. I didn't think he was good. I just was like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, like this I is, you know, we're senior, you know. We got to go 11-9 and lose to Martin by 30 in the pre-districts. You know, that was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Ryan, I got to ask one question. I got to ask one quote-unquote creative process question. Me and the boys really enjoyed the song titles here. You know, there's
awesome.
Laundry List, Coast, June, July, August, Palm Trees in Ohio, which we might talk to you in a little bit. If I Had Two Hearts, Tab With My Name On It, What Are You Drinking, The Knife of the Hatchet. I love them. Now, are you a notes on your phone guy? Are you a pen on a cocktail napkin? Do you collaborate with your wife, with your team? How do you get these songs? Are you on the golf course and something pops in your head? How do you get these song titles? Because they are pretty cool. Just peel back the onion a little bit.
When I played this album for my record company, that was the first note they said was, these are the strangest song titles that we've ever seen.
Just cool. I mean, they're strange at all. Like that's odd.
Are you a rock and roll fan? Cause I feel like if you like came up in like the indie rock and roll world or like the pop punk or world, like emo world, these are like not strange to you.
Yeah. This sounds like stuff off of a Death Cab for Cutie album. Like I saw this and I was just like, I could see Ben Gibbard, not like those titles being something that Ben Gibbard would title a song.
And context is key in the format too. But yeah, I don't know. Some of them, I think I came up with most of them, if I'm not mistaken, but yeah, they're out there. And I think that's like what makes my record like just a little bit like, how I put my own like stamp on it was having very writing forward, a very writing forward album. And you know, there's cool stuff on there, but I don't know. I went into this project saying, if this is the only thing I ever get to put out, what do I want it to be? And the songs kind of chose themselves, and it's been a really fun, it's just been fun to see people react to it. And you kind of always dream about like, those track lists and set lists and what they're going to look like. And now we're getting to actually like see that dream come true.
No, it's been awesome. It really has been awesome to listen to it. I haven't met you a couple of times on the show and actually listen to the work. I mean, it's not just, you know, you can't just do that over a weekend, have a whole debut album come out that's as polished as that one was. So a lot of work went into it. We really enjoyed listening to it. But I know you come on this show to talk about sports, to talk about gambling, to talk about the stuff that you love, including those Tennessee Titans. Now, peeling back the curtain of the West Coast Gamblers a little bit, this show has come out after the Monday Night Football game, but we're recording with a country rock star on his timeline, so it's before the Monday Night Football game between the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills. You might look like a fool after I ask you this question, but do you have a prediction for tonight's game, and how do you feel like your Titans have done so far into this young season?
I love the Titans. Obviously they're incredibly talented if they can stay not injured. I don't know. I guess I think that there's so much steam on the Bills that it makes it hard not to be like, well, if Julio and AJ are playing, then why can't they keep it close? So I don't know. I don't think it's like, it's tough to, I think I'm going to say Titans money line tonight because I don't want, I don't want to be a bad fan on this podcast, but I will say that I'm not betting it. I don't usually bet on the Titans or the Wolverines because I really am like excited about the game tonight, and I don't want my fandom to be tainted by the bet.
I don't want you to lose money either, but I will say when you do bet on your teams like the Michigan Wolverines in the past, heartbreak leads to really good songs. So it might just be, you know, you have to throw a little bit of money away to get better country music on the other side.
Yeah, I here's the thing. AJ and Julio change everything for this offense. They really do. And if they can get some semblance of an offensive line, which is pretty tough against the Bills, but you know, they can hang with anybody. I mean, they have the firepower to do it. It's just if they can put it together, and they haven't really put it together even in their wins yet. So I don't know. I mean, I'm always a bit of an apologist, and I know it, but I mean, that's the fun part of being a fan with a team that's going to be in the playoffs, is you kind of get to be. And then, you know, do I imagine them going super deep after watching the first five games? Not yet, but it doesn't mean they can't. I mean, they have the best running back in the league who's a top five player, and they have
exactly
two of the best top, in my opinion, two top 10, if not top 20 wide receivers. So maybe switch that around, top 20, if not top 10, but they have the talent. I don't know. We'll see, but I certainly
in the right division,
and they have an extra game. The division is just horrible.
Terrible.
It's a tire fire.
It's truly, truly horrible. I mean, I think that like, I'm trying to like, here's the thing. When you do what I do, you can't like talk mad shit about other cities anymore. Because you
somebody's
have to
go gonna
sell,
hear it.
You have to go sell tickets there. And
that's good. No. You don't say anymore.
When you show up at Key Bank Arena in Buffalo and nobody's there because you were like, Bills stink.
Yeah, that's exactly. Remember when you said the Pittsburgh Penguins were assholes? Like, I mean, I said it out loud. I didn't say it online when they beat us in the actual Stanley Cup finals. It was a very loaded moment for me. I was very sad.
Well, I think what he might be implying here, guys, is if we followed the internet with Bills Mafia traveling to Nashville, it seems like Bills Mafia has taken over Nashville. And I think the Bills will be well represented in the Music City tonight at old Nissan Field.
And we're used to it, though. I mean, we have the Chargers out here, and every game for them at home is still an away game. Even with the Browns, even when the Browns were in town, I had people who went to those games and were like, there were so many Browns fans in the crowd.
Well, I guess it's a double-edged sword because you get all these people in town who are like, it's so stupid that other teams can just take over our arena and our stadium. And I guess the other side of that coin is like, do you want to live in a place that people don't want to come to? So it's hard to be like a tourist destination. But I mean, there's like six teams that when they come here, just annihilate Nashville. It's like if New Orleans or Chicago or Buffalo, and Chicago drank like an entire block out of beer last time. that was like in the newspaper. When it's, you know, when Chicago, they had to make that stupid rule about area codes for the arena when the Blackhawks came to town, which made it just everyone furious. But I think it matters a little more in the arena than it does in the stadium. So it'll be wild to watch tonight in a destination game for the Bills, a pseudo home game. But hopefully, here's the thing. Just don't fight. I know there's going to be like fights.
Oh, yeah, please.
Don't fight. PSA, no fighting.
Like, I don't understand how like the Suns and Four guy is like universally praised. So come to Nashville, have fun, drink all the beer. Let's not fight each other. Let's just like watch the game and not get too pissed. And everybody like go home. Please go home too.
Please go home. That's the roundabout way of saying it. Please go home. But before we let you go, before we let you go home, I know, Drew, the last time you were on here, Drew loved the Chasing After You music video, the world's largest Lazy Susan. It was an awesome little setup that you had. We put our heads together, though, with this debut album. We do have one of our favorite songs on there were the Palm Trees in Ohio. Drew has the Midwest blood running through him. Me and Dangles actually can see palm trees from outside our windows right now. So we put our three heads together, came up with a pitch for you for the music video for Palm Trees in Ohio. Throwing the idea at you, let's see what you like. I know Drew has something he wants to get off his chest first.
Yeah, before I start off, Ryan, just a couple really great lyrics I want to just point out from your album. Are those tears in my Tanqueray? The answer would be yes, because every time I drink gin, I wonder why I'm doing it, because it tastes like shit. I bought a ukulele that I can't even play. Has anyone in the history of purchasing ukuleles ever known how to play one when they buy one? It's a good line, because I've never... I think I'm going to buy this. I'm going to think I'm going to learn how to play it. But so here we go. Palm Trees in Ohio. And I know you said, you know, you can't talk crap about fans in certain states because you got to sell tickets. I know between me and you, wink, wink, how much you love Ohio and love all the wonderful people and fans. And so I just thought, you know, obviously, you know, we're Michigan men. I feel that this music video should start in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on your tour bus, and you and Jim Harbaugh are wearing khakis, drinking beer. You drive directly to Columbus, and there's a huge palm tree right in the middle of the horseshoe at midfield. And Urban Meyer is there on all fours with an apple in his mouth. And Jim Harbaugh comes with a ladder, and he puts the ladder on Urban. And you both shimmy up the one lone palm tree in the horseshoe in Ohio. And at the top of the palm tree is a Big Ten championship for the University of Michigan. That was kind of just like, I was just spitballing that. But I want to kick it over to Tony, because I think he's kind of filling some pieces there.
Honestly, that was so much better than anything I had prepped for this music video. The imagery, Urban Meyer on his hands and knees with the apple in his mouth. Dangles, you brought up another prime moment, I'm sure, in Ryan Hurd's life that deserves to be a part of this music video.
Well, see, I was thinking about this, and it's like this, because this is a song about things that are almost miraculous, right? In a way, no palm trees in Ohio, no traffic in LA, no snow in Colorado, no beer on a Saturday, right? So I'm trying to think about how do we incorporate the Music City miracle into this? You know, do we get Kevin Dyson to, are you Frank Wycheck throwing the pass to Frank Dyson, or to Kevin Dyson rather? I don't know. I just, especially with the Bills in town this week, I don't know, that jumped out at me as something that I would love if we could fit that into our, I don't know how that ties in with the college thing, Drew kind of threw the we go from the college to the pros, but that would seem to fit the nature of the song or the intent that you seem to have.
So what do you think, Mr. Hurd? Would your agents be down for that?
I have no words. I don't know how long it took you to come up with that. I hope you didn't write it down.
Believe me, I didn't.
There'll be palm trees in Ohio before that idea ever comes to fruition.
That's exactly the reaction I was hoping for.
I actually opened my tour in Columbus, and I love the good people of Ohio, and I would hope that they all buy tickets to my show. What I like to do in Ohio when I have my band, look at this pivot. This is someone who's media trained to the max. What I like to do in Ohio is I let the crowd boo me. I say, my name's Ryan Hurd. I'm from the state of Michigan. And a couple people are like, boo. And then I go, I'm serious. Like, this is your one opportunity. Let me hear you. My name's Ryan. I'm from Michigan. And the whole crowd goes nuts. Boo! And I say, now that that's over with, let's have a great night. That's the way I do that. As far as the rest of your video, I think just any video of me and Jim dressed exactly alike in the khakis and the sweatshirt and that old like 70s hat would just be excellent television. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys should interview Jim Harbaugh, because if you ask him questions like that,
love to,
generally about like whole milk and ribeyes, I think that that would be something that I would personally tune into.
Well, you get him to be on your music video and you can give us the hookup.
We'll end on this. When all that stuff was going on with Urban, two things. When all that thing was going on with Urban that week, Ryan texted me, and he texted me a thread on Twitter, said there was a sorority girl flirting with Jim Harbaugh in Ann Arbor, and he literally made her run routes, and he was firing pistols at her until she got annoyed and didn't want to play. So that is how you look away from sin, my man. And also, this guy's album comes out on Friday, and I'm sure he's got a bunch of commitments. We had talked the night before, made plans to talk. He texted me in the middle of the day. He goes, so we're taking the Jags this week? And we didn't, but we should have.
Next time we have you on the show, we'll dive more into the NFL matchup so you can give us your money line parlays and we can both take the Jaguars together. But for today, that is it, my friend. Thank you for coming back on the show, Mr. Hurd. And again, love the album Pelago. You can get it anywhere. But come on back soon, my man.
You guys rule, man. Congrats on all the great moves you're making, and I can't wait to see. I love the pod. I think everyone should listen to it every single week, and I'd probably make more money if I tailed you guys. So enjoy the game tonight. Go Titans. And Bills fans, have fun. Get back to your plane on time, and we'll see you next year, I'm sure.
West Coast Gamblers.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.
All right, guys, that was the end of the Ryan Hurd interview, and congrats, Ryan. Again, we said it in the podcast. We said it in the vidcast as well. That recording happened before the Tennessee-Buffalo game, and he got it right. Titans money line cash, baby. Drew is still wearing the Buffalo Bills hat. Still angry about it, by the way.
No, this is Ryan Hurd's hat. This is his brand right here, buddy. This is a Ryan Hurd hat.
There you go. I mean, we should all be wearing Ryan Hurd hats and listening to his debut album because, again,
Pelago.
Check it out.
I know he said it was Latin for like open seas or whatever, but it's also fortune teller. Just saying. Ryan Hurd killed it. But right now, we're going to end the show with everybody's favorite segment. It is time for Gravestones. It is the moment of the show, moment of the week, where each of these hosts here tells you a team that will not be making the 2021 playoffs at the end of this season. It's been a long night. We move forward. So far, over the past few weeks, Jacksonville and Detroit all three of us have killed. Individually, I've killed the Jets, the Giants, and the Bears. Dangles has killed Houston, Miami, and Philadelphia. Drew has killed the Jets, Houston, and the Giants. The reason why we have a couple of different teams in there is because, depending on the order of how we go, a host cannot kill the same team that a previous host has killed that week. We go based on the order of how we did on the gambles. Yours truly goes first for the second week in a row. Wasn't a good record, but it was a better record than these two. Dangles, you are second. Drew, you got the caboose once more. But that is it. That is all the talking. It is time to bow our heads. It is time to put them low. It is time for the music to come in. And if you're watching on YouTube, a little graphic. Don't get scared. There's a little lightning coming. Warning you now. Spoiler alert. But it is time for Gravestones. There once was a man named Flores, who was the man to save Miami. And yet, when you draft Tua over Herbert, it all goes out the door. As Miami Dolphins are not making the playoffs this calendar year. That team's terrible, and I'm killing Miami.
That was the best rhyme since Rebecca Black rhymed bowl with cereal in that song Friday that she did. At the beginning of each NFL season, hope springs anew for many teams. The chance to win again, to be undefeated at 0-0, and for some, the opportunity to draft a potentially generational talent at the top of the draft. This, too, was the story for the New York Jets this year when they started their season. A brand new head coach, a potentially generational talent, or so they thought, in Zach Wilson, and a true number one wide receiving threat, potentially for the first time in years, in Corey Davis. And yet, wins have not materialized. The Jets are not making the playoffs in Robert Saleh's first year. They will go in the ground.
Wow. How in the world do I follow those emotional ballads? I will attempt. I'm going to go, boys, to the NFC East, where a once proud preseason favorite of this vaunted front seven of the Washington football team.
Wow.
And all of us, all three of us, and our Fred Craig Hoffman crowned them preseason NFC champs. And Daniel Snyder's size 5 shoe cannot kick Mr. Taylor in the Heineke to get that team going. There's no Fitzmagic. There's no Riverboat Ron. There's a lot of bad emails.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bad PR. And there's a lot of bad football. So long. Sleep well. Godspeed. Washington football team, good luck on your next nickname next year. You will not be entering the playoffs this year. Good night.
And that is the end of Gravestones.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
And that is it for the Tuesday recap of the Week 7 show. Tony Cavallo, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crooks, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, the only gambling show that makes you money, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Thank you for Mr. Ryan Hurd for coming on the show. Thank you, Dr. Dangles, for helping heal some wounds between myself and Schaefer the Sharp, and of course, Gravestones. It was
together.
A fun week. Guys, I have to say this to the both of you, though. We pride ourselves on making people money. We didn't do it last week. Pick your shit up, myself included. Deal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't bet on the Lions on your birthday or podcast when you've had about 12 beers.
Don't bet on the Vikings ever again. Ever. Just ever. I'm done.
We live, we learn, we move on. To next week. Thank you for listening.
dub seat to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.